There are three basic types of systemic adjuvant therapy. There's endocrine therapy, cytotoxic chemotherapy, and targeted therapy directed at HER2-positive tumors. Since so many women with invasive breast cancer will have hormone receptor-positive tumors, let's hear from Madeline, a patient who was recently diagnosed with ER-positive breast cancer.
I always kept my hand into creativity and took painting. I'm particularly interested in installation art because I feel that that's what I'm doing as a theater designer. I've had many posts at a variety of universities. I've also worked with professional or semi-professional companies. When I'm designing, I'm really not thinking that I'm doing art. I think of it as creative play. Every year, I go to my doctor and I get my physical, and then I also get a mammogram. I went in September. I got a call that there were some irregularities. They didn't explain. They took more pictures, amplified them, and he said, yeah, I still can't tell what's happening here, but these are troublesome, so you should have a biopsy. And I went home, and they said, we'll call you in 3 days, but they said, don't worry about this because 80-85% of the time it's benign. Nope. So I was hoping that that was what it was going to be and optimistic and got the call, and I was all alone here, really, and it was kind of a shot in the gut, really, a pan in the face. What we're told is to look for a lump. You know, you look, feel something. Well, I never felt anything. I knew nothing about breast cancer. There was no history at all in my family. I have a big family. I have 5 sisters and 5 brothers. I did get the breast book and I read it avidly just to get an understanding because I was totally clueless. They did the biopsy and it was just on the left breast. I thought that breast conservation, the lumpectomy, would be what I wanted to do. The nodes are negative, and he was confident that he'd gotten everything. What he told me was that the tumor was actually quite a bit smaller than what they'd imagined. It was 9 millimeters, less than a centimeter, and they had diagnosed it 2.5 centimeters. I know that the cells are fairly aggressive cancer cells. My hormone receptors are positive, so that's good. I'm HER2-new negative, so that's good. I mean, I have a lot of good things in my favor. I had learned with my meeting of the oncologist about the new Oncotype DX test. This genetic testing, what they're trying to do is to diagnose the risk of recurrence of the disease. The idea, high risk, you do chemotherapy, low risk, you do hormone therapy. It's the middle range that is the question mark. And I said, be my luck, I'm gonna be right in the middle. My score was 30, in the intermediate range, but in the high end. I felt nervous going into that meeting because the surgeon had led me to believe that chemotherapy was pretty much a sure thing. But then when I met with the oncologist, he said, no, don't go buying your wig yet. not necessarily. And there are various options. And I still don't know exactly what's going to happen. I have a lot of questions to ask when I meet with him. I have 2 sons, and I have 1 daughter.
Good to see you.
She's been just great through all of this.
All right. Well, my mom goes to the next step of her treatment. I just hope to be there for her in any way she needs to be helped. We don't know yet if she will be needing chemotherapy. We do know eventually she'll need radiation treatment regardless.
Looking at the directions that artists take and the chances that they take inspires me. I think art will help me cope. It certainly distracts you from fretting and worrying. As an artist, you're looking for the beauty. I'm just gonna take it step by step by step because I can't foretell the future.
patient Madeline is a postmenopausal woman with a node-negative, ER-positive breast cancer. The mainstay of her adjuvant recommendation will be hormonal therapy. There are other patients with tumors that are larger or node-positive, as Cliff said, that would definitely benefit from the adjuvant chemotherapy in addition to hormonal therapy. But for these patients with node-negative, hormone receptor-positive tumors, what can we use to individualize therapy? Which of these patients with small tumors actually do need chemotherapy in addition to hormonal therapy? And there are a couple of tools we have available to help us today. One is Adjuvant Online, and this is a computer tool where one enters data regarding the patient, regarding age and comorbidities, so the host factors, as well as characteristics of the tumor regarding the tumor size, the grade, and the estrogen receptor status, and incorporates these data and then helps give us a risk of recurrence without therapy and then with therapy. The other tool that's available to us today is the Oncotype DX tool, and this is a 21-gene assay, and it gives us an algorithm which is called a recurrence score. And this recurrence score is both prognostic and predictive. Prognostic in that it tells us which tumors are more likely to recur in 10 years compared to those that might not. And it's based on this recurrence score. So the tumors with low recurrence scores have a low risk of recurrence, and the patients with high recurrence scores have a higher risk of recurrence. The ones with the intermediate recurrence scores have an intermediate risk of recurrence, and it's a continuous variable from low to high. In addition to for the score being prognostic, it's also predictive of benefit to chemotherapy, showing that those tumors with the very high scores actually benefit from the addition of chemotherapy to hormone therapy, whereas the patients with low scores have no additional benefit. It's the patients in the middle, the patients with the intermediate scores, for whom we really don't know what the true benefit of the addition of chemotherapy is. And for those patients, there's a national trial called TAILOR-RX, which is exploring the role of chemotherapy in addition to hormone therapy in a randomized fashion with those patients who have intermediate risk scores. Now, there's another platform. Bob, maybe you want to talk about the MammaPrint platform.
Sure. There's another new test called the MammaPrint, which is based upon 70-gene assay system. It requires fresh frozen tissue in order to do the analysis. It is also limited to women with a lymph node negative breast cancer and can be used in either those women with estrogen receptor positive or negative disease. It gives primarily prognostic information, so information about a woman's likelihood of doing well in the future. At least at the current point in time, it does not provide predictions about how much a specific therapy would benefit the woman.
I think one of the things that is so exciting about all of this is that we're witnessing a little bit of a revolution in how we approach breast cancer. This patient that Lori described has a tumor that conventionally one wouldn't think about chemotherapy for. But it's possible that with a high recurrence score, we might elect to treat such a patient. This is somebody we would have missed in the past. And what we're really talking about here is how biology is starting to trump anatomy. And that's, I think, the key evolutionary change in our thinking about breast cancer.
What about endocrine therapy? What are the treatment options there?
Modern endocrine therapy largely consists of the pill, tamoxifen, and more recently, those medications that are called aromatase inhibitors. Tamoxifen is a selective estrogen receptor modulator, and that means it has both estrogen and anti-estrogen type effects depending on which tissue. It's well studied. It's associated with significant improvements in progression-free survival and overall survival, as well documented in the overview. And it's fair to say that about 5 years of tamoxifen represents a gold standard. More recently, for postmenopausal women exclusively, the aromatase inhibitors have been shown consistently to offer modest advantages over tamoxifen. These drugs have been studied the following ways. First, the aromatase inhibitors have been compared directly against tamoxifen for 5 years post-op. In those studies, there's an advantage for the aromatase inhibitor in reducing the risk of recurrence, although I hasten to add, a significant survival advantage has not been consistently seen in these trials. Second kind of aromatase inhibitor trial is so-called switching trials. In these trials, patients took tamoxifen for perhaps 2 to 3 years, and at that time, they were randomly assigned to either remain on tamoxifen, completing their standard 5-year course, or to substitute a newer drug, the aromatase inhibitor. This approach has been used to test both exemestane and anastrozole, and the results are consistent. The switch to the aromatase inhibitor in those trials is associated with improvements in both disease-free and overall survival. The third kind of trial is a so-called late switch or extended adjuvant therapy trial. In those trials, patients would actually take tamoxifen for 5 years approximately, and then they'd be randomized to stop it by taking placebo or to begin taking a second endocrine therapy, the aromatase inhibitor. And those trials are also positive. So in those trials, we have uniquely placebo control against the aromatase inhibitors. What's interesting about all three of these trials that I've described is that they have very consistent results. Whenever we begin to use the aromatase inhibitor, the risk of recurrence and maybe the risk of death begins to go down a little bit.
There's one outstanding trial, however, that may really help us in deciding either which therapy to start with or whether a switching option is optimal compared to monotherapy, and that's the big 198 study. And those data are outstanding, but we look forward to those results.
It's also worth repeating that the aromatase inhibitors should not be used in the treatment of premenopausal women. And that includes women who are premenopausal prior to chemotherapy, who experience an apparent menopause with chemotherapy, unless you can show biochemically as well that they have become postmenopausal. Even that area, though, is somewhat controversial. And many women who become apparently postmenopausal with chemotherapy, when given an aromatase inhibitor, will have a resumption of ovarian estrogen synthesis. And that all by itself can lead to a series of toxicities and probably also negatively impacts the effectiveness of the endocrine therapy.